This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There you go. All right, from Borgata on this Friday morning. Hope you're having a good start to your Friday. Phil's had a good start to their Thursday. Had a bad end of their Thursday. Now, not the end of the world. It's just a game. Unusual to see Zach Wheeler, you know, kind of get hit hard there in that fourth inning. I think it was, what, two doubles, a homer? A single. It was. I mean, not in that order, but it was a lot going on. It ended up being four runs, and he loses and they lose. But a great job by the Phils. By the way, compared to last year, here's where they are. Because we talk all the time about that incredible start last year. Well, now I'm going to do this based on games played, not date. Because who cares about date? Let's talk about games played. So they have played 56 games so far. Last year, they were 38-18. This year, they're 36 and 20. So they're only two off that pace, wow, which was like a historic pace. Now, what made it historic is they did it for about another week and a half. So up until through the first game in London, because remember, they won the first game in London, lost the second game, and they were cruising through the first game in London. With the first win in London, that's when they got to 45 and 19. So, you know, this team, just as a for instance, can't get to 45 and 19. This team's 36 and 20. They'd have to win nine straight to get to 45 and 20. And, you know, probably not going to win nine straight, but they just did it the other day. So, point is, they're tracking in a good direction and have a lot of good stuff going on. 215-592-9494.
I'm just so impressed by how they've rebounded from that. In retrospect, not a long stretch, but I feel like it was 2 weeks where they were really struggling.
I think it was 4 weeks.
Yeah, there was talks about, you know, firing the manager. I'm just so – this team is very rarely, to me, counterpunched, like fought back. And I'm just so impressed that they are where they are. I really thought we were heading towards like a mediocre, disappointing season. And to be here is – it's very impressive by what this collection of players has shown.
I agree. Yeah. I'm with you. All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, speaking of fighting back, the Knicks did last night, not within the game, but the whole game, like start of the game, they punched back from game four. And they won, and they won pretty easily last night. So it sets up a game six this weekend. Obviously, Knicks and Pacers, and Knicks handled business last night. Let's go to the phones. Kenny in East Oak Lane. Kenny, good morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
What up, Kenny?
How are you, bud?
What's happening?
How's it going?
So let's talk about – I didn't get to see the second game, but I saw the or listened to the first game on the radio. Gosh, they always make it a nail biter at the end, man. I'm like, just strike him out and end the game. And it's just like, oh, yeah. Dribbler up. I'm like, come on, get him out. And then finally just they called a strike from the call. They said it might not have been, but whatever. We got the win.
You're right. That was a very shaky call. I agree with you.
It was an advantageous call for the Phillies, for sure.
Hey, listen, when the pendulum swings your way, you take it.
Amen.
So I think that Wheeler has enough stones to hit somebody major if he was going to retaliate. I don't think the nine-hole hitter is like, oh, yeah, let me do this. This is cool. So I don't think it was intentional. I really don't.
I think most people are going to agree with you, Kenny. It wasn't like people afterwards were like, oh, yeah, he got one. Mm-hmm. Like that people didn't react that way. So you might be right. It's certainly possible.
Yeah. You guys were talking about Jalen earlier. Joe, I know how you stand. I know where you stand on him. And, you know, rightfully so because it's been so up and down. But this is the year that I want you to gauge how you feel about Jalen Hurts. I want you to give him a chance and see what he does.
Because oh, I will.
I believe that he adopts excellence. And now that he has that taste of that Super Bowl in his mouth, because you saw what he did when he got the taste of the defeat in his mouth. He was like, I'm not going to lose this game again.
MVP season is what is coming, is what Kenny's trying to say.
Well, let me ask you this, Kenny, right? Because once he lost that Super Bowl in 2022, right, he was voted the second best player in the NFL. He got all these sponsorship deals. Didn't have a great 2023. Like, let's be honest, right? Like, he rebounded in 2024 and won the Super Bowl. But how do you feel about him going into next year considering the 2022 to 2023 thing?
So what I also want to say is that Jalen has been – handled by a lot of offensive coordinators, to say the least. And it's adjusting, and there's always an adjustment period and everything like that. I didn't agree with them promoting within for the 23 season. This one, I'm not too sure about either. I really wish they would have brought some other candidates in.
Same.
And saw what was out there. But
100%.
Interesting.
Continuity, you know, within the organization, all right, he knows this person, he's comfortable, but we tried that before. But hopefully this it'll be better. Like
That's a good way to put it. Hopefully it'll be better. Kenny, give me a great answer for what's crazy. You can win the Phillies tickets.
So it has to be playoff baseball and CBP, man, the fandemonium.
Ooh, good answer, dude.
Everybody hates. Everybody, if I was an opposing player, I'd bring an extra set of shorts, man. I'm telling you, because these fans.
Look, Kenny, I love it. You know I love it. And obviously they got a great winning percentage down there through the years. What's the but?
Well, losing 6-7 at home really takes
and last year,
and
one
last
of two.
Year,
and
yeah.
last year.
Yeah, but 6-7
they lost
the Diamondbacks.
Three of their last four home playoff games.
Correct.
Yeah.
Three of their last four. And versus the Astros, they lost their last two.
So other than that, it's crazy.
So meaning when
now they had multiple wins in between.
No,
there.
I know.
Yeah,
but here's a fact: in the last three seasons, in their final two playoff games at home, they're 1-5.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's crazy.
That's a fact.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Let's talk to Nick in Bucks County. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, team. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
All right. So I have a fun fact for Phillies related. Yesterday, watching that first game, Schwarber hit that. He crushed that ball.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, he has to have hit the longest home run by a Philly. So I just Googled it. 60 years to the day, Dick Allen hit the 529-foot home run.
Yeah, that's what I figured it was going to be when you said,
I thought, Schwarber's home run when they played the Padres in
the playoffs. It was 488.
Wasn't that like the longest? Or it was his longest.
Well,
it may
have been his, and
it may have been
that stadium.
And it wasn't.
Now, Nick, homer too.
Nick, the Dick Allen thing, and I'm not trying to be ignorant here. I would imagine the technology wasn't as good on figuring it out. I mean, did it land in a spot where they could tell, or was it one of those like it's so high, it's so far, they're doing math to come up with an equation?
True. It was at the Connie Mack Stadium.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago.
I love how you question everything.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
The Adam, dinosaurs.
Well, like, Elliot, let me give you a for instance. So there's often talk, baseball, I'll use the word lore, maybe it's a fact, that Mickey Mantle hit one like 560.
Mm-hmm.
Did he or didn't he? I don't know. I mean, I know this. When I see Schwarber hit one that's 480, like the one Devin's talking about in San Diego, and it's hard to imagine one can get hit much further.
Yeah.
Do I think Mickey Mantle hit one 80 feet further?
Well, they said
probably
Mickey Mantle
not.
Hit it off the top of the white fence in Yankee Stadium, which seems impossible.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know.
So I just like the skepticism.
I just pulled up a story about the Dick Allen home run.
Yeah.
And it's, like, basically what they did is it went out of the stadium. They went outside. And there was a guy there who said it landed here. So that's
not scientific. Not very scientific.
Reliable.
That's funny. That's good.
That's Joe science right there, man.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Well said, Nick.
That's why I have some skepticism in me. All right, Nick, you can win the Phil's tickets. What's crazy?
Can I ask Elliot a question real quick?
Go for
it. I love the Go Birds podcast. And
thanks, man.
Another opportunity. So in your opinion, Elliot, who should start at right guard, and are the Eagles in trouble for this even being a question at this point, and should they bring in a veteran?
Yeah, so I think it should be Tyler Steen. I think he played well last year. He's been here. He has familiarity. Could they be in trouble with that? Look, last year I questioned the offensive line. They had a new guard, a new center, and they were maybe the best offensive line in the history of football. So I think I'm done questioning Jeff Stoutland and his offensive line. But I don't think a veteran – could hurt. The one name, not a veteran, but I don't think we talk about enough, but we do on the pod, I guess. Trevor Keegan, I think, like, in the second year, could be a very quality backup offensive lineman on the interior. So, yeah, I think they'll be fine on the offensive line.
Good deal. Nick, what's crazy?
Man, the craziest thing that I've ever seen, my jaw still drops when I see this. Nick Foles running over to the sideline asking Coach Doug if they could do the Philly.
Yeah.
And then running it to perfection en route. To him beating Tom Brady in Tom Brady's greatest statistical game of all time, man.
All right, Nick, for
Philly,
I was going to say for the contestant having one correct and beat the hammer already, but I can't go that far. I'll mail you a dollar. What's the only mistake Nick Foles made in that whole sequence?
Ooh.
I'll mail you a dollar.
I don't know.
He ran to the wrong set.
He called it. He named the wrong play.
Okay.
Remember, he said you want Philly, but it was actually Philly special.
I think they called it Philly.
Yeah.
Like their vernacular was Philly, but then afterwards, Doug said the Philly special. But when they called it in the huddle,
I
think it was called Philly, play vernacular.
Listen, maybe Hammer's in a hole here. I thought Nick said it wrong.
I don't think that's correct, but. Okay. Maybe you could be right.
I just know there was a Philly, and there was a Philly special, and
one of the craziest things about that, and I think this is like a great stadium moment, is just being there in Minnesota. The silence initially after he caught the ball, when everyone's trying to figure out what still happened, is so awesome. And then obviously there's a lot of Eagles fans, they figure it out, and everyone goes crazy. But that silence, even in the press box,
that's great,
man. What? Yeah.
Well, another underrated part of that play never gets discussed. Even if Foles had been covered, which he was obviously utterly uncovered, so was Torrey Smith, utterly uncovered. Trey Burton could have thrown to either player. The bottom line is the Patriots were so confused, there were two guys completely uncovered.
Good point, yeah.
Well, Saquon Barkley is a superstar. It will be interesting if they lean on him as much this year. Again, if you missed it earlier when we were talking, he was close to 500 touches this past season. Hard for me to imagine that continues. I mean, guys, I'll give you the number. Regular season and playoffs combined was 482.
It's crazy. And they arguably needed almost everyone.
Oh, they needed him.
They
needed him.
Yeah.
Look, tremendous job by him last year. Hopefully he and they can keep it going. You can weigh in on the Eagles. Great to have Elliot with us. Obviously, a couple times a year, Elliot hosts the show when John's out. We love having Elliot here. John out today, Rhea out today. Both will, of course, be back next week. Beat the Hammer in 20 minutes, thereabout. Elliot, I'm curious. I know you are a root for the Hammer guy, and I appreciate that, and I respect that. Greatness recognizes greatness.
I just think dynasties are awesome, and you're clearly a dynasty.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Fritz thing.
Yeah.
No one on the show is rooting for me versus Fritz, and no one on the show thinks I
can
beat
Fritz. Rhea's on your side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Somewhat rooting for me. She doesn't think I'm going to win.
Correct. She's rooting for you, but no one believes you'll win.
Yeah, and Elliot, so both on rooting for and then who will win, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, it's not tough. Like, Jack's definitely going to win, so that's the easy
Why
one.
Why do you say that?
I just think Jack's in way better athletic shape than you are.
But he's not a better athlete than I am.
I think he is.
Okay.
I mean, what's your athletic skill? Free throws? I don't, you know.
Listen, I'll just, when Jordan, in the documentary 5 years ago, was like, okay.
And
like,
I took that
the only chance,
they gave that MVP to Karl Malone. Okay.
The only chance I think you might have is
I'll deal with it in the finals.
Maybe it's a bit of a tortoise in the hare situation where like everyone thinks Jack's going to win. Now, who to root for? I feel like it'd be the funniest if you got smoked. So I feel like I'll root for Jack.
Fair enough. I'll tell you the thing, Elliot, I think a lot of people are underestimating how much I want to win.
True.
You're actually a psycho competitor.
Correct.
We see with Beat the Hammer when you just lose your mind.
Yeah,
you are intense. I'll give you that. You will be more intense than Jack without a doubt.
I also think a common theme has been like you never work out and now you are.
I am.
So that actually is
but
a sign.
But that's why
of,
it's not fit. Like we need a date for this so we know like Joe's going to get like jacked or something
well,
by
Joe's
the time
not gonna
we
get
actually
jacked.
Do
no,
that.
I'm
but
not,
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah, probably
what?
Not.
There are limitations here.
Yeah.
I just hope Jack is training as well. Because Joe is prepared.
That's why I think it could be a tortoise in the hare situation.
And by the way, I'll say this. I don't need to train to the point where I can win a basketball game one-on-one up to 100. I just got to win a basketball game one-on-one up to 11. Like, it's not going to take me forever.
You guys are going to play basketball? I thought it was going
to
be
11.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
Elliot, here's what it is. It's nine holes of golf match play. It's baseball, 10 at-bats.
Okay.
He's the pitcher. I'm the hitter. I got to get on four times. or he's got to get, or if it's two, if it's four times or more, I win. Two times or less, he wins. If it's three, it's a wash on base. Tennis, one set. Running, to be determined. Probably going to be
one time
around
the track.
Short thing.
Like a 100-meter dash.
100-meter or yard, whatever that thing is. And then basketball, 101 to 11. That's it.
So after hearing the events, I'm actually – those are winnable in to some degree.
I'm going to win basketball and tennis.
I don't think you'll win basketball. Yeah.
I mean, you're losing golf. Golf's over.
Yeah, so is Jack good at golf?
Yes.
Apparently. Yeah.
But I feel like you golf all the time.
No, he shoots mid-80s. I shoot like 105. So
I need him
to come up 10 and me to go down 10.
You need him to choke is what you need.
Well, that is possible.
Yeah. I think that's the only way you win golf. Because let's be honest. Like, you're probably not going to go up 10. Like, well, let's be real.
Let me throw this in the equation. Joe competes publicly weekly in front of a lot of people.
That's true.
Jack does not. And I don't know if Jack likes pressure, to be honest.
Well, I don't think he does.
So that would be the only thing I would say where I could picture Jack losing it a little, whereas Joe, I think, is more steady.
Maintain his composure. I will be
so in his head.
That's what I'm thinking. I didn't consider that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, I want to say, like, baby element to him. But, like, he can crumble. He's, like, a crumble guy.
Yeah, and I don't think you are used to the spotlight and the pressure.
It's an interesting dynamic. Listen, that's a big part of why I'm confident. Like, for real.
Brains versus muscle, I guess.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
He's a crumble guy.
Great job by the Phils in the month of May. Obviously, they lost the last game yesterday. But as we sit here with our final program in May, I mean, as Devin pointed out in the update, Devin, that fact, 9 of 10 series wins?
Yeah.
That is
pretty good.
That's beyond pretty good.
Pretty good.
I mean, consider where they were. You know, when the month began, we were in a pretty bad mood.
Yeah.
And they've really put some stuff together.
Are you guys concerned about Bryce at all? I want to get your opinion on that.
Well, in what regard?
Well, just like the swelling. He didn't play yesterday. I know the x-rays were negative.
He's injured.
Okay, but how long do you think he'll be out?
Not long. Well, let's listen to Rob Thompson. So, to answer your question, no, I'm not concerned.
Okay.
I expect him to miss a couple days, so do the Phillies. Let's listen to Rob Thompson yesterday after both games were over, commenting on Bryce.
Was Harper available off the bat?
No.
Do you think he'll play tomorrow?
Don't know. We'll check him out in the morning.
Is it a positive day overall for him?
I think so, but there's still some swelling in there, and he's still got some pain, so... We want to knock that out before we run him out there, because he's going to change his swing, and it could lead to a lot of problems.
All right, so that's one answer from Rob Thompson, which leaves it open to the possibility of playing today. But let's play another piece of audio from Rob Thompson, because in this one he more aligns with, like, don't expect him to play today. Here's more of Rob Thompson.
How concerned are you about Bryce?
I mean, he's going to miss few games, I would think. Moving forward, I don't know. We'll check it out tomorrow, but I don't think it's going to be it's not an IL or anything like that. Not at this point.
So to answer your question, no, Elliot, I'm not concerned. He's going to miss a couple games. He'll be back, and you hope his timing's not too thrown off. But it's not October 1st. You're not about to play a playoff game next week. I mean, it's okay.
I agree, but like it's not the IL at this point. We'll see. There's swelling. My Spidey senses are up a little bit.
He's being very mysterious about
yes.
it. So throughout the day yesterday, like before both games, Rob Thompson was asked, and he was basically like, well, Harper's here, but he's not going to play in the first game. We'll see for the second game. And then in between games, it was, he's here, probably won't play in the second game, but like he'll be on the bench, meaning like he was asked if he would be available in a pinch hit situation. He didn't say no. And then after the game, all of a sudden, it's, no, he wasn't available, and the swelling is bad. So,
well, sometimes that's, though, to put in the opposing manager. Hey, he might hit, so you better sequence your bullpen to prepare for that.
Because before the games, I took it as, like, the opposite, where Harper was maybe more ready to go than they were letting on, and they didn't want to, give that away, where I think it was the opposite. He maybe is more injured than they're letting on.
Yeah,
but
no, I think
not an
is.
IL situation.
Look, this could be one of those deals where if he's the 25th guy on the roster, he would go on the IL. Like, think of it this way. They might think he's going to miss 5 to 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the 25th guy on the roster is going to miss 5 to 8 games, he's going on the injured list. Because why carry the 25th, I say 25, no, it's 26 guys. You put that guy on the list. But if you're the best player and you think, maybe it's 5 games, but not 10, then it's like, all right, we'll carry him, but we don't quite know when he's coming back. But he's valuable enough that we, if we get him back for the back end of 5 out of 10, then we carry him, and he just sits for 5 days. I mean, that's my guess. Guys, the guy got drilled.
No, I agree. He just – he hasn't had a great year. He seems like someone
– he's had a pretty good year, man.
No, but he's not had – yes.
He has not had a –
he's like, not had a Bryce Harper
year. He's had
year.
A better end of May.
Yeah, I just seemed like he was getting going, and now to miss time, well, I'm just worried sure. about that. Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones on all this. 215-592-9494. Andy in Deptford right now. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning, team. We're live. We hot.
We are, Andrew.
Love it.
Beat,
love it.
What beat up, the Andy? Hammer in 15 minutes. It's going to be on fire hot.
Oh, yeah, you about to take another L, my guy.
Come on, man. This is 285 today.
I want to hit on NBA playoffs before I get into the Eagles.
Sure.
I'm really enjoying these playoffs. I yeah. mean, you look at these teams, and it just tells you how far off the Sixers are.
Agreed.
But I look at that Pacers team, and I'm like, you know, T.J. McConnell, we let him walk.
Yep.
We could have traded Simmons for Halliburton, and we could have signed Pascal Siakam.
And they had Bridges.
Yeah. The Sixers, in my
and
opinion.
And could have gotten Brunson at any point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they could have been right there. I mean, Indiana's about to go to the finals, hopefully. But, I mean, I say that to say this. In my opinion, the Philadelphia Sixers are the worst-run organization in all of sports.
Wow. Okay,
baseball,
yeah.
basketball, football, and
not
hockey.
About
I
mean,
probably
sports.
Not. Probably not.
See, I think our conclusion is somewhat similar, but the reasoning is wrong by you. My takeaway is we just never got a special Joel playoffs. Like, you look at Halliburton, how special he's been, how special Brunson yeah. has been. You're right about the role players and, like, misses and that. Ultimately, the Sixers never advanced further because Joel never had his moment.
Well, I do yeah, also wonder about their player development. Like, if Halliburton ended up here, if Bridges stayed with Philly, like, would they become the players that they are now?
It's a fair question.
Well, Maxi became pretty darn good. I mean,
yeah, but not a star.
Not phenomenal.
Well, he wasn't all star.
You know what else? It's tough when you're brought up in a culture of losing.
Yep.
Like, most teams, you want to win championships, you're in a winning culture, you're in a winning atmosphere. When you're brought up in a losing atmosphere, you know what you're going to be? Losers.
Maybe.
And that's what that team is, losers.
Maybe.
As far as with the Eagles go,
yep.
my two biggest concerns when you look at the landscape of the team and you look at this future season, I'm really, really concerned with that safety that's going to line up next to Reed Blankenship, because the rookie, Makubo, I look at him, he just don't look like an NFL player. I think that may have been a reach more for need. And then you look at a league that's predicated on passing, and where is our pass rush going to come from? Like, where is our rotational guys? Like, that's my biggest concern.
So seeing Makuba this week at practice, he was bigger in person than I expected, just putting that out there. Like, for as much as we heard how small he is, he's skinny, but he's not short, in my opinion. So I'm not as concerned about his size as you are now. Who knows if he can play, and I don't, like, love the pick, but just size-wise, I feel better about it after seeing him in person.
I don't like when we get tweeners, like a guy that was a corner and now
no,
he
I
plays
agree.
Safety for a year. Like, that concerns me. I want a safety that can come up, lay the wood, and can cover a deep third.
No, I agree. And then in terms of the pass rush, I feel better about it than it seems you do. I mean, Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt, I think, have a ton of potential to be awesome this year. I really like the Azeez Ojulari signing. Moro Ojomo, I think, is going to have a really good year rushing the passer next to Jalen Carter. So I'm actually not worried about their pass rush. There's questions for sure, but I think they have a lot more there than they do at, like, safety.
Andy, you can win these Phillies tickets. What's crazy, my man?
What's crazy? I don't know if some people will agree with this, but most will. And it's a craziness that we can't live without. But what about women? They're crazy.
Andy.
That's
Devin?
Yeah. That's offensive.
Care to comment?
I wonder what Andy's woman would think about that.
Yeah.
Does Andy have a woman?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a feeling with that comment, maybe he doesn't.
How about that?
I'm with Devin on that one.
Speaking of pass rush, Elliot, this Bryce Huff thing, we touched on it briefly yesterday with you in the 8 o'clock hour when you're on, but let's drill down a little more here. So he's not, like, with the team these days, meaning not at the OTAs. Mm-hmm. So this could go in a few different directions. They could keep him and play him. They could keep him and not play him, which is what they did with Bradbury last year. They could cut him. They could trade him. How much money dead cap is it to cut him or trade him? Because part of why they carried Bradbury was to avoid a bigger dead cap if they cut him or traded him.
Yep.
So is that on the table, like keep him and not play him?
So,
and how much money is it to cut him or trade him that's dead cap?
Yeah, so the Eagles currently have $25 million in salary cap space. If they were to cut Bryce Huff before June 1st, which is, you know, 2 days, whatever,
okay,
they would lose $21 million.
So they're not going to do that.
They're not going to cut him
in the next 2 days.
They're not going to cut or trade him in the next 2 days. So we're really only talking post June 1st.
Right.
If they cut him after June 1st, if they cut him, they lose $12 million. So about half of what they have now. If they trade him,
real quick, does other money roll over to next year?
Yeah. So you're essentially splitting it.
Okay, that's what, yeah. Okay, okay.
So if they trade him after June 1st, they gain $4 million in salary cap space. And I think that my main message on this would be, they will be able to trade Bryce Huff. They will be able to trade him, whether it is for someone on another team that team's going to cut, or whether it's for like a conditional seventh. This time last year, Bryce Huff was viewed as the best edge signing in free agency.
Wow.
And for what it's worth, he barely played last year. And I'm not blaming Bryce for last year. I think Vic Fangio wasn't a big fan of him as a player. It didn't work out. It is what it is. I think Bryce could very well go to another team and do a good job getting after the quarterback. So I believe
Hold on. Let me ask you this. If you believe he can, quote, go to another team and do a good job getting after the quarterback, why can't he do that here?
Because I don't think Vic Fangio likes him as a player. Now, and
why?
Look, well, he didn't play him.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm saying like...
So I think there's a couple things. One, I don't think Bryce is good against the run, right? So right there, you're cutting off first and second down in terms of playing. Then you get to the situational pass rushing. Bryce Huff likes to rush with his hands in the ground. Vic Fangio prefers, based off, you know, my conversations with Bryce, it seems, like that he doesn't do that, that he stands up and rushes, right? So I just think there is not a fit there between Vic and Bryce. And look, Vic Fangio is awesome at what he does. So it is what it is. Like, I don't think it's a huge deal if they lose Bryce Huff. But Bryce Huff had double-digit sacks rushing the passer on third down the year before. I don't think he's lost that ability. I think he could go to another team where he's a better fit schematically and play well.
Okay. All right. Well, look, 215-592-9494. Chance to weigh in with Elliot here if you've got some Eagles questions. Obviously, he's had eyeballs on him with the OTAs, you know, this week, so you can fire some questions off at Elliot. Let's also give you a question, which is the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy, your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Now's the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, do you think Zach Wheeler was retaliating when he hit Nick Allen yesterday? If you missed it, it's the Braves' nine-hole hitter. Scoreless game, 0-0, third inning. I believe third inning.
Yeah, third.
No one on, one out, nine-hole hitter. So not the usual spot that you would hit a guy. But, you know, there's a lot of talk of, like, let's hit a guy, and Zach Wheeler did hit a guy. By the way, knocked him out of the game. Ran a pitch in on his hands. The guy actually happened to swing. That's got to be an embarrassing moment when you swing at a pitch and hit you, and it counts as a strike instead of hit batsman.
And then you have to leave the game. Yeah,
you have to leave the
game. It's horrible.
It's a lose-lose-lose situation there. You got hit, got a strike, and had to leave.
So it's led to some, like, did Wheeler do it on purpose or not? Like, and then if he did, does this make you happy?
Was he asked after the game?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Seems like
I don't think anyone asked him.
Okay. Just wondering.
So people really assumed, Devin, that it was not intentional, right?
Well, I also just think, like, even if it was, he's not going to be like, intentionally.
But I mean, even so, I mean, like, media. Like, I wasn't at the ballpark.
I mean,
but
Strider got
media
asked,
members,
you know? Yeah.
Social media. Like, I didn't see any chatter of, like, Wheeler did it. I thought most people, James, you got the impression most people thought he did not do it, right?
100%. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't see it. Like, until you brought it up to me, that I thought about it, like, for a half second.
Yep.
But until you brought it up this morning, I didn't see anyone really talk about it.
I mean, he did hit a guy and knock him out.
I think thought he hit him initially, for what it's worth, on social media.
That was my first thought. I mean, he hit a Brave. And the guy had to leave the game.
Like, yeah, it was just a nine-hole hitter.
I know.
And he swung, and it wasn't it was clear. It wasn't clear enough to the hitter that he swung at the pitch.
I know.
If you're sending a message, I don't think you sent a message.
Yeah.
I hear you on all those points. Fair points. Well, all right. Well, do you think Wheeler did it on purpose or not? If he did, are you satisfied? If he didn't, are you dissatisfied? Where do you stand on that whole thing, which has been a big topic, I guess, what, 3 days or so now? 215-592-9494. We will remind you, Pete the Hammer coming up in 5 minutes. We'll take the fifth caller on the contest line, caller five at 215-988-1258. Caller five for Beat the Hammer, 215.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
5988-1258. Going for a victory 285 today, which would be very nice. We shall see in a few minutes. Paul in Downingtown. Paul, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joe, and good luck to you today on Beat the Hammer. I'll tell you what is great, your record on Beat the Hammer, that's what's crazy.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So true.
That's a pandering answer. I was just kidding. But
I know you are.
Yeah. I wasn't.
I'm a fool, but not that big a fool.
But on the Phillies, I don't think Wheeler hit that guy on purpose. I just think it was a cutter or two-seamer or something that ran inside on him a little bit. There's too many reasons that it just doesn't make sense for him to hit the nine-hole hitter with the one-hole guy hitting coming up, especially when he had better chances. He ran some 3-0 counts to good hitters. That's a great opportunity to beat somebody because you're probably going to walk him anyway.
But remember this. Part of Ben Davis's point yesterday, Paul, I'll say this, because you're right, the 3-0 plunking can happen, but the 3-0 plunking is so obvious. And part of what Ben said yesterday is, and this is the word he used, that Wheeler's sneaky. He's going to do it, and he'll do it in a sneaky way. Like, he might have done it in a way that even most Phillies fans think he didn't do it.
Yeah, that is a convincing point.
If there's a pitcher that's talented enough to bait a guy into swinging so he hits his hand on the ball, it's him.
Right.
But anyway, I just think one of the things that worries me about the Phillies, and I'm not typically critical of the manager because I firmly believe he's forgotten more baseball than I know. But when we lost Alvarado, I thought he was going to move some guys around and give them opportunities in higher leverage situations. And I'm seeing what I think is arm fatigue because he keeps trotting the same three guys out there night after night in those leverage situations. And I think a little, in terms of the results,
he does not trust the other guys, in my opinion, nor should he. Now, you can make the case, and it sounds like you are, try it anyway.
Yes, absolutely. I think you have to put faith in what you have in there and see if it works, because you have to give the GM that information too.
They're communicating. Remember, you got 4 months to the playoffs,
and we've seen it in sports, in different sports, over the years, that guys that typically don't have it, they somehow find something for a season and it surprises everybody. And just to rule that out, to not give those guys an opportunity, I think that's chicken stuff. But and on to a different thing, really quick with the Eagles. I think it's a real concern, obviously. But in the Jaguars game last year, when Saquon Barkley did that 180 reverse hurdle over that dude,
yep,
he took on a superhuman, superhero quality to me.
Sure did.
So for that reason and a few others, I truly believe he's a physical phenomenon that if anyone can do it, it's him.
So you would. So are you saying you would not dial back how much they lean on him?
I would, because I would, but only because of the new talent that we have. I would want to spread some of those carries out, and I would also want to give those guys on the defense a little bit of a bruising, because I think that helps Barkley's elusiveness and quickness. So I want to hammer them with some 250-pound running backs. So I think we're going to use them differently this year, but I don't think it's going to be so much because of fatigue. I think it's going to be, just to help. It's actually going to help them in terms of freshness, of course, but I think we're going to, do a better job of beating up defenders. I don't think they're going to be able to do what they did in the Super Bowl against us.
Yeah, we'll say. Paul, give me an answer, my man, for what's crazy.
This is a really crazy coincidence. Richie Ashburn used to tell a story sometimes about how he hit the same woman in the same.
Yes!
She was okay. But in the same at-bat, he hit a foul ball, broke a lady's nose. And when they were taking her off in a stretcher, he had another foul ball. It hit her leg and broke her leg.
Yeah.
So, wow, that is crazy.
It's really one of the craziest things of all time.
Yeah.
And she was okay, and Richie went and visited her in the hospital, and the Phillies organization, like, you know, brought him into the clubhouse and gave him tickets and everything, and the lady was really sweet about it. It's kind of like a really bizarre, weird coincidence.
You're right.
Because it's a great answer,
Paul,
man.
Listen, that could win, man.
Yeah.
That could win. That's a great answer. That was Connie Mack Stadium also. So
wow.
Well, let me say this. I think it was a home game. It would make sense because it was a Phillies fan. So I believe it was. As far as the Saquon thing, we'll see. I mean, you know, guys, one of my points here today is I just don't expect them to lean on him as much as they did last year. So 482 was the number of touches last year when you combine regular season and postseason. And when you hear a number like that, the players that come to my mind are, you know, DeMarco Murray, which was over 500. That actually included some preseason carries back in 2014 with the Cowboys.
Well, how dumb were they to give him the ball in the preseason?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So him, Christian McCaffrey obviously was remarkably leaned on by the 49ers two seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Could not answer the bell last year. Jamal Anderson in 98 was heavily leaned upon by the Falcons. You know, got injured, couldn't do it in 99 for them. Now, look, there are other examples. I want to be clear. I mean, sometimes guys get leaned on multiple years in a row and can do it.
Emmett Smith is an example of someone who did that a few times.
You know what he said there? Well, Saquon's a great athlete and he could do it. That's true. Saquon's a special athlete.
Yeah.
But very few running backs that have like 2,000 plus yards and 400 plus touches are average athletes.
That's a good point too.
You know, like most of them are special athletes.
Yeah. Also, and he was super healthy last year, but the knock on Saquon coming in was the injuries. That's the reason
sure.
he hasn't had that in the Giants, the reason he hadn't had the career that he should to this point.
Yeah, that was a big part of it for sure. All right. Well, obviously, I've had the career as the hammer. I mean, when you have 284 wins and a mere 45 losses, foolish that anyone even tries. I'll just say that. But let's play a little game that we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer. On Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right. Well, it's time for a contestant to lose, but that contestant has a shot. His name is John. He hails from Philadelphia, and he's got a shot today not only to beat the hammer, and that's the ultimate glory, but to also win a $50 gift card to Rita's Italian Ice. Be cool. Eat at Rita's. John, are you cool, buddy?
Yes, I am cool, and I can't wait to win the gift certificate to Rita's and then hold you at 2:45.
Love it.
Wow.
So, John, one thing I hear in your voice is, and I mean this with respect, sir, is age.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Knowledge.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
With age typically comes more knowledge, and I'm guessing you may have been at Connie Mack Stadium, yes or no?
I have not been at Connie Mack.
Okay. All right. Right.
You aged him.
I'm probably not as old as you think I am.
Well, I'm happy to hear this. All right, John. Beat the Hammer. Do you typically win when you're listening? Beat the Hammer, meaning when there's no pressure? Are you like a 3-for-5, 4-for-5, 5-for-5 guy? Or, I mean, because, you know, some people say they are, and then you get that joke thing live on the air.
I'll keep it real. Like, I usually get around 2, maybe 3. I'm not a 4 or 5 guy. But,
that's pretty solid.
I mean, depending on the category, we'll see. I just hope to do the callers proud and, start a new losing streak for
Love
you.
Love this.
John,
I think he's going to win.
You sound like a great fella. All right.
Yeah,
John,
like you,
I'm going to step away and wish you good luck, buddy.
Scram.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Look at this. John, you're a stand-up guy. I like this. This is good.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like he threw Joe off his game a little bit.
I do, too. I think that was one of the
Joe just agreed.
Joe just
back and forth we've had. Yeah, that was really
I think
really
Joe
strong.
Was thrown off by his confidence and kindness.
Yeah, confidence and kindness. That's a good way to put what John is putting out there right now. I like it.
I can't describe it, but Joe is giving like 90s like rapper vibes with his. He's wearing like really baggy sweatpants.
Really?
Yeah. Also, watching him run has me even more confident Shaq's going to win. Like any mental.
Yeah, see, these are the things
he looks
that
like
we
he's
see
never
here
run
on a week
before
week.
In his life.
Yes,
it's
wild.
All right, he's safely ensconced. All right. Yeah. All right, John, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
Yes.
Love it. All right, Devin, you will be on timekeeping duties this week.
Yep.
Done a great job, unlike Elliot Short Parks when asked to
I'm stepping away from the mic.
We appreciate it. Yeah, turn your mic off. All right. We're going to play a little game called Beat the Hammer. John, Here we go, my friend. Our category for the week, we've heard Devin mention it in updates. The Phillies playing the Milwaukee Brewers tonight, a.k.a. our guy Rhys Hoskins coming home. We're doing a little Rhys Hoskins trivia. Are you ready to roll, my friend?
Yes.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question number one. Rhys Hoskins led the 2018 Phillies with 34 home runs. Three other Phillies had more than 20 home runs that season. Name one.
Pass.
Rhys Hoskins' 116 walks in 2019 are 13 short of the Phillies' record for walks in a season, which was set in the 1990s. Who holds that record?
Ryan Howard.
How many times did Rhys Hoskins make an all-star team in his time with the Phillies?
One.
Since 1970, Rhys Hoskins and Ryan Howard are two of five Phillies players to start four straight opening days at first base. Name one of the other three. In 2018, Rhys Hoskins played left field because the Phillies signed this free agent who is their primary first baseman. Name him.
Repeat.
In 2018, Rhys Hoskins played left field because the Phillies signed this free agent who was their primary...
Time.
All right. So that's probably not going to get it done. I think it'll be a tough category for the Hammer. A little new, but... I doubt the zero will get it done. We'll put John on hold.
I think those are hard questions.
I don't think they're easy. I don't think
they're
super easy.
They're hard to follow.
Yeah. I doubt he'll get a zero, but we'll find out. So the Hammer slowly makes his way back into the studio.
This song is very fitting for the fit that Joe is currently going.
What, the sweat outfit today?
Yeah. You got your MC Hammer pants on.
Yeah, well, they're a little baggy. Beat the Hammer. Hey, reminder. 8:30 today, Rick Tocchet on the show.
Hell yeah.
So first time we will talk to the Flyers' new head coach since getting the gig. So Rick Tocchet today at 8:30. We look forward to that. All right, our contestant, John, how did he do?
You ready to roll?
Ben. I mean, Ben.
Okay, good. Category for the week.
And by the way, this is going for 285, so, you know.
Big number.
Pretty big
number.
You love
your fives and zeros.
I do.
I know.
It's
nice round numbers. We know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Category for the week. We've heard Devin mention in updates. Our guy, Rhys Hoskins, returning to Philadelphia for a little Phillies Brewers series. We're doing a little Rhys Hoskins trivia. You ready to roll?
Are we really?
We are. Rhys Hoskins trivia. It was hard to find a category
this week.
I'll take you inside. It was a tough category week for me. Okay. But we're doing a little Rhys Hoskins trivia.
Boy, okay. Fair enough.
Made it work. Here we go. All right. Clock will start as soon as the first question is asked. Here we go. Question number one. Rhys Hoskins led the 2018 Phillies with 34 home runs. Three other Phillies hit more than 20 homers that season. Name one of them.
2018 and had 20 homers, you said?
Correct.
Santana.
Rhys Hoskins' 116 walks in 2019 are 13 short of the Phillies' record for walks in a season, which was set in the 1990s. Who holds that record?
Well, it's one of a few dudes. I'll say Lenny Dykstra.
How many times did Rhys Hoskins make an all-star team in his time with the Phillies?
Don't know. I'll say one.
Since 1970, Rhys Hoskins and Ryan Howard are two of five Phillies players to start four straight opening days at first base. Name one of the other three.
So you said it's Rhys and Ryan Howard?
Since 1970, three other players have started.
I'll say Kruk.
In 2018, Rhys Hoskins played left field because the Phillies signed this free agent who was their primary first baseman. Name him.
Time.
What it's funny because it's Carlos Santana who you got.
I thought
for the first
it might
one.
Be. Yeah. I thought it might be.
2-0
you
victory.
You slammed
the table.
Sorry,
my tea almost spilled over.
So yeah. Kruk was three in a row. Pete Rose, Von Hayes, and Rico Bronya were four in a row.
Von Hayes, Rico Bronya, and who?
Pete Rose.
I thought about Rose.
But you didn't say it.
No.
That's why I made it 70 instead of 80. Rose started 79, 80, 81, 82, or something like that.
I thought Kruk might be a bad answer because if you remember, he missed the opening series in 94.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it was a bad answer.
But played the first home game.
That Ricky Jordan sandwiched him. So Ricky Jordan was right before him, then he did three straight, then Ricky Jordan again.
All right. Well, what'd this guy get?
Oh, you got a 2-0 victory.
Oh, okay. All right, well, okay, let's talk to John. John, what happened to you, bud?
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
It wasn't the category I was expecting.
No, me neither.
Me neither, guys.
You, you know, You did great. It's not as easy as you think it is being under a timer and trying to think about the questions when you know you're under a timer.
But, yep.
You know, my hat's off to you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
What a kind... John is such a kind contestant.
Now, John, because you're this kind, I feel the need to... Like, I shouldn't lean into the fact my 2-for-5 represents... like a 400 on base percentage, and your 0-for-5 represents great defense by me. Like I was like, I was like Bryce Harper, and Zach Wheeler, all in one. Like great hitter, great defense. Like, but I wouldn't say, I wouldn't lean into that because you are a fine fellow, John.
Well, thank you. And I was more like Zach Wheeler last night. So it's
okay. Zach Wheeler against the Braves.
All right, John, for the humor, and I respect it, we are going to award you, sir, the $50 Rita's Italian Ice. I hope you and your family have some fun this summer, get some good water ice, and enjoy it this summer, bud.
Thanks, all. Have a great summer and be safe.
Thank you, John. I'm going to put you on hold, sir, so we can get your information and get you the gift card. And with that, mute it. Victory, you know, I 2-for-5, and I could have done better. I could have gotten Santana, and I could have gotten Pete Rose. Should have been 4-for-5. With that said, victory 286. Let's shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Not every victory is.
Did you slam the table so hard because you felt you were losing?
Because
I feel like you thought he was going to do well.
I was a little
and
worried.
You weren't doing great.
No, I would say I was more like Jordan when I scored 25 but want to score 35.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just being honest. Like,
it was more you hold yourself to a great standard.
I could tell those questions weren't the easiest, so I thought, all right, chances are. I mean, like, put it this way. If I'm getting them wrong.
What are his chances?
Yeah, I mean, what are the other guys' chances? Yeah, come on now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.